You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
The heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck.
Well, in a couple of days, it will be St. Patrick's Day, and Tim and I just were silly there for the first half hour.
Only a little bit.
We had some fun. It was good. Now, at the end of the show, folks, some useless Irish trivia coming up, so you want to stay tuned for that, because that's just riveting radio.
Like, what's this guy's real name?
What do you mean? Frank Warren?
Bono.
I don't know.
Frank Warren. I know his name.
What's Bono's real name?
Yeah.
He has a real name?
He does.
His parents didn't name him Bono?
No, he didn't.
No. Is it like Wilbur Twinker Binker Dink or something?
No. No, it's Robert Hewson.
Okay. I don't care. Is that bad? I don't care. Frank Warren, creator of Post Secret. That's who we're going to talk to right now, folks. The reality is everybody has secrets. So what's yours, right? The book of James in the Bible says to confess our sins to one another and we'll be healed. I've always kind of liked that verse. I don't remember a whole lot of the Bible, but I like that one.
That helped when you were preaching down in Australia,
it did.
Didn't it?
It did.
Yes.
Yeah, that and Jesus wept. Those were
yeah,
key verses for me.
Verse.
Anyway, if you folks are into this, you know, confessing your sins to one another kind of thing, you might need to send a postcard to Frank Warren, since it's hard to trust our friends these days. He's seen them all, folks. Funny, heartbreaking, shocking, but all have been incredibly revealing. Post Secret is a community art project where people release their secrets by anonymously mailing them on a homemade postcard to Frank Warren. He started this in November 2004 and has since received, I think it's like 200,000 secrets from all over the world. The website receives millions of hits every month and has led to the publishing of two Post Secret books containing some of the more poignant postcards he has received. Joining us today on the show, Frank Warren. Frank, I saw you on George Strombolopoulos' show, The Hour, and I was intrigued, as many are. I mean, you're getting a lot of attention over this.
You know, I feel as though I've accidentally tapped into something full of mystery and wonder that I certainly don't understand, but it brings me about 200 of these artful, soulful postcards with secrets on them every day, and it feels like a wonderful journey.
Well, let me just run this quote by you here. I've been asked by many times why I started this. It still feels to me as though this project found me. All I try to do is make the right decisions every day to protect the integrity of the project and learn to trust the journey. That's a quote from you. What's the journey been like?
It's turned my life completely upside down. I used to be a small business owner. I had a business I'd owned for about 15 years, and that took 40 to 50 hours a week of my time. And when I began Post Secret, it started slow, but as the postcards kept coming, this virtual community, this real-world community began to grow. I created a website where about a million visitors come to postsecret.com and see 20 new secrets every week. There are these books. I speak on college campuses, and I learn an awful lot by kind of getting this secret peek into a hidden landscape that we all share, I think a lot of us recognize, but people don't talk about.
Okay, give us the numbers, because I'm pretty sure I've got them wrong. You receive about 1,000 per week and post about 20?
That's right.
And how many visitors, again, to your website?
It gets about a million visitors every week. It's received in total over 120 million visitors from all around the world.
Good night. That is amazing. And how many secrets have you currently collected altogether?
We've just gone over 200,000.
Wow, man. These days, Frank, you know, now that you're known, people want to send in their secrets, right? It's sort of steamrolling. There's quite a momentum behind all of this.
I think the project and the idea has spread virally, both online and in the real world. And I think that people mail in secrets for a number of reasons. I think some people want to share a funny story or talk about a sexual taboo. But some of the postcards, the artwork is so painstakingly created, and the words are so carefully chosen. I almost feel as though, for some people, it's a search for something more, maybe a search to better understand themselves or accept a part of themselves or part of a search for grace or authenticity.
But because it's become such a hot commodity and now there's almost a novelty thing attached to this whole deal, the BS quotient has probably gone up as well.
Well, I think of each postcard as a work of art, and I think they do the work of art. And I think in the same way, you wouldn't walk into a bookstore and say, are all these books true? Or the
right.
Same with a museum. I think when you're talking about people's secrets, that's a very complicated thing. And I've received feedback from people more than once, people who've written me a follow-up message and said, you know, when I wrote my secret on my postcard, I thought I was making it up. But after I mailed it in, and once I saw it on the website, I realized that the whole process was a way for me to come out to myself. So sometimes I think that, you know, the fact that all the postcards are mailed anonymously, and maybe sometimes people do think they're making something up, but maybe later that secret becomes true for them, or maybe when it's on the website, it causes a dozen or 100 or 1,000 people to recognize something new in their own life that they were hiding from and cause them to make a change.
Okay, again, Frank, now it's this huge monster of a thing and people know about you, but how did you get people to send you their secrets in the early days?
I printed up 2,000 self-addressed postcards, and I had some simple instructions on them about writing a secret on the postcard and mailing it to me anonymously, and I handed them out on the streets, and slowly secrets began to find their way to my mailbox, and this went on for about 3 or 4 weeks. I stopped passing out the postcards. I stopped printing them up. I thought that was the end of the project. I got about 100 postcards. But it was then that the secrets continued coming, but not from where I'd passed out the postcards. Somehow the idea had spread, and I started getting secrets on postcards postmarked from California, Texas, Toronto, London, Brazil. And they kept coming in such a way, I really feel as though now that people are sending in secrets for many different reasons, and I have no idea kind of where the project's going to go or how it's going to end. I feel sometimes like it's got a life of its own, and I'm just along for the ride.
Wow, this is just fascinating. Not all the stuff you receive are actual postcards, though, right? Like, you get different mediums, I guess, right? What's the weirdest item you've received?
Well, you know, if you can imagine it and it's mailable, I've probably received it with a secret written on it. I've received secrets written on sonograms, naked Polaroid pictures, napkins, wedding invitations, funeral announcements, parking tickets. One of my favorites arrived on a Starbucks cup. Somebody put a stamp and wrote my home address on a Starbucks cup. They wrote their secret right on the cup. They wrote, "I serve decaf coffee to customers who are rude to me."
I knew they did that.
You know, some are funny, but some are haunting. I got this other postcard that had an image of the Twin Towers in New York, and the person had written on this card, "Everyone who knew me before 9/11 believes I'm dead."
Wow.
And when I see a thing like that, it just invites me into this story, this extraordinary story behind the postcard.
Okay, but here we go. See, right away, the initial reaction is, wow, isn't that amazing? But the reality is, in this bizarre North American, you know, media-driven world where we're all seeking attention, we all want to be part of the set of the television show Friends, sit around drinking coffee and act funny, you just don't know whether it's true or not.
Well, I agree that it's a secret like that is shocking. But I tell you, you know, it was about a month ago that a news story came out in the UK about a father who faked his own death 5 years ago so that his family could get insurance money.
Yeah, I remember
that. His two sons thought he was dead for 5 years. A couple months ago, he comes back, he resurfaces claiming he had amnesia, and to his sons, he's still dead. His sons want nothing to do with the man. And so, you know, sure, it could be made up, but I guarantee you, if you go to the Post Secret website or page through one of the Post Secret books, the secrets that you think are made up, some of those are true. And the ones that you're sure are true, well, who knows?
Yeah.
And I think part of the attraction of the project for people is it invites them into this, it invites them into the lives of people beneath the surface and allows you to see kind of how extraordinary, you know, that the heroism and the frailty that we have that we don't always express to our friends or family members.
I know you hate this label, Frank, but if you are the most trusted stranger in America, have you ever stopped and asked yourself why? Like, why you?
You know, I talk about this a little bit when I go to college campuses, and I have to say, in hindsight, I didn't know this at the time, but I believe I started this project as a way to explore secrets in my own life. And one secret in particular that occurred in elementary school that I never told to a soul, by receiving these postcards from strangers and feeling the courage they were sharing with me, I was able to find the strength in myself to face this experience that I'd been hiding from. And I told my wife about it. I told my daughter about it for the very first time. I wrote it on a postcard and I mailed it. In my case, it came right back to me. But I took that postcard, and it's in the first book. And I found that experience very therapeutic. It was the first step in a much longer walk in facing and dealing with that secret. But I truly believe that I started this project because at a level beneath my own awareness, I needed to reconcile with secrets in my own life.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Total sense. On the phone with Frank Warren, he is the sole man behind Post Secrets. All you got to do is go to Google, type in Post Secrets, and it's there. It's a blog spot, really, and it's like, what is it, the number? It got some great ratings. What are all the brag comments about your blog spot?
Well, I just saw a report that according to this researcher, Post Secret among college women gets just as much traffic as Yahoo, AOL, and eBay.
Oh my goodness!
I think it's the largest advertisement-free blog in the world. I've never accepted a penny for advertising.
Well,
very strong.
Yeah, and let's talk. Let's speak to the integrity of this whole operation here. No advertising. You're not selling out in any stretch of the imagination. As a matter of fact, you put your home address on this stuff. Like you say, here it is, send it to my... I mean, are you not worried about whack jobs coming to your door and sort of saying, can I have my secret back, please?
Well, I think in some ways I have kind of put my faith in humanity by putting my home address out there. But I think that humanity hasn't let me down. I get these amazing secrets. I think that's one of the reasons that people feel like they can trust me, too, is because I've made myself vulnerable first, in a sense. I've taken that first step in the relationship. And then in addition to that, Post Secret has a very large philanthropic component. We contributed over $150,000 to 1-800-SUICIDE, which is a national suicide prevention hotline. And in fact, I was...
You volunteer there, did you not? Or do you still volunteer there?
I'm not a regular volunteer.
You're probably too stinking busy now.
2 days ago, I was on Capitol Hill talking to some people, making some presentations about the suicide prevention hotline and how important I think that is.
Good for you, mate. Tell us the All-American Reject story.
The producer for that band contacted me, and they wanted to use Post Secret images in the music video. They offered me $1,000 for the postcards, and I said no, but I said if they would instead make a $2,000 donation to 1-800-SUICIDE, I would let them use the postcards, and they made the donation. I was very pleased with the results.
I still find it very hard to believe that no one has shown up in Germantown.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh.
I said there hasn't been a bad experience.
Okay, so people really they've shown up at your door?
People have wanted to see the Post Secret mailbox and the Post Secret dog and the Post Secret, sure. But it's you know, people want to come out of curiosity and just want to get a book signed or chat for a bit. That's fine.
You're going to have a gift shop soon, aren't you?
I hope not.
No, you don't sound like the kind of guy that's going to do that. You've said, Frank, that hearing somebody's secrets or secret carries with it a strong responsibility. Now, what does that mean in the context of Post Secret?
Well, the secrets arrive anonymously.
Does that alleviate you of responsibility,
well,
then?
Well, not really. Because some of the secrets contain very painful details, especially from young people. And so there is that desire to want to reach out and help. I try and channel that energy towards supporting the hotline. But I also try and focus on, hopefully, the healing process that person went through by facing a secret on a postcard and then physically letting it go to a stranger.
Okay, let's bring people right to the heart of the matter here. Tell us some. Just tell us a whole bunch of ones that have just blown your head.
You bet. Well, here are some that arrived today. This one came on a sheet of lined paper, and it says, "I cheated on the man I'm cheating with."
Wow.
And another one says, each one of these have artwork. This has, it looks like bars, prison bars, and it says, "I wish my best friend would go to jail." And another one here, this one came today, said, "I just realized that I wouldn't change anything. It's who I am." And then there's a secret crossed out on the postcard. And I pulled some spiritually related secrets. I get a lot of postcards about relationships, but I also get a lot of secrets about religion and spiritual life and the afterlife. In fact, this evening, I'm driving to the American Visionary Art Museum in Baltimore, Maryland for an exhibit where we have, the exhibit is called All Faiths Beautiful, and part of it is 300 post-secret postcards that all have a secret that has to do with religion or spirituality. These are private beliefs or personal religions that people don't talk about, but they feel them in their heart, and for whatever reason, they can put them on a postcard, but they can't express the feelings other ways. And I pulled some of some spiritual secrets that I'd like to share with you. Can I read
these? Please, please do. Yeah, please.
This one says, I'm a Christian, but I'm afraid to learn too much about God because I'm afraid it won't make sense and I'll stop believing.
Exactly. Well said. Wow, and these are amazing. Keep going.
Another one says, I love Christian rock. It makes me happy. I really wish I was more religious. This one says, I'm too embarrassed to pray with my husband. And there's a cross, and it writes, some, the person added, God help me. And this one says, I only pray to God when I need something. That's why I think he doesn't listen. And then this last one, again, on a beautiful piece of artwork with a couple of angels, reads, I don't deserve to be saved, but you can try anyways.
You see, this is why I wanted to get you on the show, because for me, there is so much spiritual context in what you're doing. I mean, I can't even put words to it. I mean, I guess part of me wonders about the oppressive nature of sort of a patriarchal, you know, event, especially the evangelical scene here in North America, where, you know, there's a sort of fit-in mentality, or we totally misinterpret the Bible from my point of view and sort of feel that, hey, God won't accept me until I get my act together. And actually, the opposite is true. God has a hard time accepting you until you admit your act is not together. So I wonder about you personally, Frank. You know, what has happened spiritually in your life? Did you grow up in, like, because you're from the States, and from what I understand, everyone in the States is a Christian, right? So
I have a very complicated background.
Okay.
I grew up with a religious family. We were Presbyterian.
Okay.
My parents got divorced, and when I was in high school, I had a good friend whose father was a Pentecostal preacher, and for 2 or 3 years, I was going to a Pentecostal church 3 times a week, and afterwards trying, you know, praying hard at the altar to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So that was evidenced by speaking in tongues.
Oh man!
And that never happened. And so for a long time, I felt like I was kind of a failure. And in some ways, I feel in a sense that I've kind of found my voice through this project and all the amazing voices that are being heard through Post Secret that might not otherwise be heard. And in a complicated way, this project for me started almost like a prank, almost like a sociological experiment. But then as it's grown and developed, for me it's taken on so much meaning. And more, there is this very strong spiritual quality to it that I find, especially when I go to college campuses and I talk about the project. One of the most moving parts of my talks is when I pause and I take a break and open up the floor for a discussion about secrets and the stories behind them. And young people will get up, they'll come up to a microphone in front of hundreds of their classmates and express these extraordinary secrets about eating disorders, academic pressure, rape, abuse, and it just feels so cathartic. And also to see the reaction of the people in the room when one of those secrets is shared, how they'll applaud, they'll come up and embrace the person, and you know, tears will come to other students' eyes. I get this great sense that just for a moment, there's this empathy being spread in the room, and kind of, for me, it does feel very spiritual at the end of those experiences, and I hope that journey continues because I find it very gratifying.
I think that God actually gave you something better than the gift of tongues.
Well, I feel that sometimes, you know, there's this intersection between art and healing and spirituality, and I hope what part of this project is a way for people to find what they need to see or feel or hear. And one of the most gratifying parts of this project for me is when I can take 2 secrets that have arrived the same week and put them on the website in a way that doesn't just express those voices individually, but almost feels as though they're speaking one to another.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
One week I got one postcard that said, when we were in the 3rd grade together, you were supposed to be my friend, but you made me feel so little. I just want you to know that I've forgiven you. And I put that on the website. And the same week, I had this other secret from somebody else explaining another childhood kind of abuse situation like that.
Yeah.
And this person was apologizing. And I could link them up almost
wow.
as if they've been sent by the 2 people, you know, who needed to say it and hear it. And my hope, you know, maybe my prayer is that 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 other people who need to express an apology or hear somebody else from their past say they're sorry could get some solace by seeing those two secrets linked like that on the website that week.
So, I mean, to me, the shoe has dropped when it comes to that scripture I talked about earlier. You know, confess your sins to one another and you'll be healed in the book of James. That must make total sense to you.
Oh, it completely does. I believe that when we find a person we can trust to share those secrets that are in our hearts, in our souls, it can really strengthen that link of intimacy between you and another person. And it can be an invitation for that other person to share one of their vulnerable secrets with you. And I think when people start to do that, courage is contagious, and it can inspire others to share really what's in their heart. And I think when you get a virtuous cycle rolling like that and just avalanching, I think that movements like that can move the world.
Are there any you won't share, Frank? I know you've been asked this 1,000 times, but I think we all wonder about those criminal ones, you know, the murder or the molestation. Has that come across your plate?
I don't get many secrets about crimes or murders. I think that has to do with the secrets that I share every week, kind of the thoughtful, soulful, funny, hopeful secrets that encourage secrets like that for the following week. But there are some secrets that I feel uncomfortable putting on the website, not because I don't think they're true, but I think they could be misinterpreted by people.
Can you give us an example?
In a negative way. Well, sometimes I get secrets from women describing rape fantasies.
Wow.
A very specific instance or circumstance in which they've fantasized about being raped. And I don't doubt the veracity of those stories, but I think if I were to post that on the internet,
yeah,
it's possible that something like that could be misinterpreted. And, you know, I still have to look at myself every morning in the mirror.
Tell us about the secret you never received.
Out of 200,000 secrets, sometimes when I'm asked which one's my favorite, I really don't have favorites, but I talk about this one that I never even got a chance to see. I found out about it through an email I received from a woman who lives in Texas. She sent me this email, and she wrote, "Dear Frank, I visited the Post Secret website, and I was really moved by what I saw there. So I went out, and I purchased my own postcard. I decorated it. I chose my words carefully to fully express my secret, what I was feeling. And when I looked at it, I thought I was going to feel better about myself. But when I saw my secret staring back at me, I felt horrible. And I took that postcard, and I tore it. I tore it up. And I made a decision in that moment that I would no longer be the person who carries that secret in my life."
I'm running out of words. I really have quite a loss here. So let's wrap this up so I stop looking like an idiot. I got to ask you how this journey has kind of affected your wife. And is your daughter about 12 now?
I have a 13-year-old daughter.
13, okay.
Well, I think my wife has this fear that 20 or 30 years from now, as we're retired in Boca Raton or someplace, that the secrets will continue to chase us down. We'll never be able to escape the world's secrets. But
right.
I tell you, my secret is I hope the secrets never stop coming.
But what about your daughter? How, or even you as a father or a husband, how is this kind of melded into that life?
Well, I think I've learned a few things by seeing all these secrets. And one is sometimes when we think we're keeping a secret, that secret's actually keeping us. And it could be undermining our relationships with other people. It could be affecting how we see ourselves or the world, all in ways we don't fully understand until we face that part of our life that's haunting us. And the other thing I've learned is that each one of us has a secret that would break your heart if you just knew what it was. And if we could remember that and remind ourselves of that, I think there'd be more understanding and more compassion and maybe more peace in the world.
Frank Warren, I can imagine that you have learned more from Post Secrets than you did from your social sciences degree from Berkeley.
Certainly.
Tremendous stuff. The New York Times bestseller, Post Secret, Extraordinary Confessions from Ordinary Lives. What's the second book called?
The second book is My Secret, and the third book is The Secret Lives of Men and Women, and the latest book is called A Lifetime of Secrets.
Well, I'm sure you've already thunk of this, so you're going to go down this road eventually, but if you could gather all of the ones that have some kind of spiritual or religious connection and package those in a book, I think you've got a winner there for sure.
Well, the publisher is anxious to come out with another book. The last one was number 7 on the Times bestseller list, but I don't feel the time is right. But I think when I do think the time is right, I believe the next book will be about exactly that.
Yeah, that is tremendous. Frank Warren, again, folks, just go to Google, type in Post Secrets. It's a blog spot. It is tremendous. I'm looking at some of the cards right now. The pictures are there. The creative art form translates in a very unique way to each person individually. And I just want to thank you, Frank. I really want to thank you for allowing your life to change in this radical direction. It's quite permeating.
Well, it's been a great pleasure talking with you. It's always, for me, so fascinating to talk to some of the deeper themes of the project, and we really got a chance to do that, and I appreciate it.
Hopefully we'll speak again, and if you come to Toronto, look us up.
I would like that.
All right, mate. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Frank Warren. Boy, is that not just...
It was amazing.
What a head spinner, huh?
Unreal.
So you can go there now, have a look at some of the pictures. It really gets you in a... I don't know. I can't even describe the mood that it puts you in, but... Just that vulnerability. I mean, I'm always on about vulnerability, and I think it's lacking seriously within the church. And this guy has got something. I think there's a God connection here. I'm not going to get too spiritual this, but I don't know. Anyway, folks, a short break on the show, and when we come back, I don't think it'll go over that well if we sort of say call in with your deepest, darkest secrets anonymously. So especially St. Patrick's Day and you and I being in the studio, being the idiots that we are.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's lighten it up a little bit. Confession time here, 905-338-1250. Let's have a little fun. What's the dumbest thing you did when you were a kid, right? Seriously. Is there anything you want to confess to the world right now? Obviously, you know, I think it's hard for people to confess their deepest secrets on the radio. So let's just keep it lighter. Everybody's done something really dumb as a kid.
And kid at heart, I think there's a few adults who have done some childlike things.
I think so. I think
you're
spot on there. So anyway, now that some time has passed from childhood, give us a call. What's your childhood secret? Funny, sad, heavy, or light? It's time to fess up. We'll be right back, folks.